Amen. Someone say so. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you would turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. Wisconsin has started its trickery. It was beautiful yesterday, and I'm sure some of us will go out tomorrow and like, ha, it's going to be nice and warm jackets, and once again, it's going to be freezing and up and down and up and down, a horrible time of year. But praise God, spring is on its way. Man, that's just something to take a lap around the church for. Woo! Amen. Revelations chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. I'm going to speak on this topic this morning. When God speaks. When God speaks. You may be seated. We've been talking about the seeing the glory of God this quarter, and as Pastor mentioned, he's wrapping up the preaching the price for the supernatural this evening, and I don't know about you, I think we're all in agreement. We want to see his glory evident in our lives. And so we've been looking at scriptures this past couple months, and we look at scripture, and before his glory came down, they were in tune with God. They were praying. They were seeking after God. They were seeking his direction, but there was a moment where God spoke. He spoke that direction or gave instruction to which the people responded, and then the glory of the Lord was seen in their lives or their situation. God is a God of order. He is not a hype machine responding to our emotional action, the emotional actions of his people. You think about Elijah. If you don't know the story, just a brief synopsis. He's facing off this wickedness in the land, there people are worshiping the god of Baal, and so he's like, "Hey, let's have a showdown." They're like, so he, it's him against like, you know, 300-400 prophets. You know, the exact number is not important right now, but he has a challenge. You put a sacrifice on the altar, and you cry out to your God. And if he answers by fire, consuming the sacrifice, we'll all worship him. If that doesn't work, I'll put on. You guys can go first. If that doesn't work, I'll put the sacrifice on, and I'll call on my God. And so, as many of us know, the prophets of Baal, they do that, and they start crying out. And they get frantic, frenetic. They, you know, worshiping and dancing, and hello, you know, come on, maybe he can't hear us, and we'll cry louder. And they cut themselves, all this emotional. And finally, they're drained of blood and drained of energy. And Elijah's like, okay, can I go now? And he had gotten specific instructions, but the altar, dig a trench around it, put the sacrifice, then pour all this water on top of the sacrifice, which doesn't make any logical sense because you're about to consume it with fire. Now it's a wet sacrifice. Wet wood doesn't burn. But, you know, hey, he wasn't a Boy Scout, I guess, or a Weeblo. Whew, that's what I was. Anyways, and so he followed what God told him to do. And what happened? Boom, glory of God falls down, consumes the sacrifice, fire, and the rest of the story. Elijah didn't get all frenetic and all crazy and like, oh, God, please. No, he's like, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. Boom, boom, boom. Okay, God, your turn. And boom, God responded. As we submit ourselves in prayer and fasting, as we seek after him, as we draw ourselves close to him, as we are full of the Holy Ghost, being led and guided day by day, God will speak in our lives. There's a reason why, Pastor, I already had this in my notes, and he mentioned it again this morning, why he's challenged us while we're commuting to work to ask the Lord who he wants us to reach out to that day. Why? Because if we're actually seeking that and say, God, show me the person, God will speak to you. There's not a mystery involved in all of this. Sometimes we want to mysticize it, making it out to be this big mystery about what God wants us to do with our lives and day to day, and it becomes this big old like super spiritual freaky thing when it's a simple matter of, God, what direction do I go? And God says, go this direction. Do this thing. And when we simply answer and follow the call or his instruction, that's when his glory is revealed in our lives. Matthew 14, verse 14 through 21, story about Jesus and the disciples feeding the multitudes. As Jesus went forth, saw a great multitude, was moved with compassion toward them. He healed their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert place. The time is now past. The multitude are away," or "send the multitude away that they may go to McDonald's in the village, buy themselves some McChickens." And Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart, but give ye them to eat." Just give it, you know, give them some food. And they said, "Jesus, we have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. You know, that Barabbas dude, man, he could eat probably all 7 things, you know. So, like, God, this is not enough." And he took, and he commanded the multitude sit down. And he's like, bring those things hither, bring the loaves, bring the fishes. Commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, took the 5 loaves, the 2 fishes, looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and said, "Okay, go feed them." And they did all eat and were all filled. And they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full, and then they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, plus the women and children. Disciples were, in a sense, freaking out. But Jesus was calm and said, "Here's what I want you to do. Have them sit in the grass." Wait, shouldn't we pray God for manna from heaven? And like be like, "Oh, there's 10,000 people." No, it's like, go sit on the grass. Okay. Now go feed them. They did it, and 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish fed 5,000 plus people. God will speak. The question is, when he speaks, what will we do? What action will we take? What will our response be? The answer to those questions determines his glory being revealed or not in our lives. Being married for 10 and a half wonderful years to the lovely Fiona, I've learned one of the keys to a successful marriage or relationship is that it is a two-way street. My wife and I must both have times where we talk and both have times where we listen. Listening is just as important as talking. I have Greek blood in me, and that means we are a crazy family. We seem normal. My parents come and everyone's like, "Oh, they're just the most wonderful people," which they are. But we are crazy if it's just us family. You should have seen us in Greece this last November. It was out of control. We were crazier than the crazy Greeks. But I remember the first time my wife met my family. We flew down to Florida. I proposed on the plane, which was an awesome story. Major kudos and points for me. But anyway, so we get there. And we have two separate rooms or suites or whatever, condos. And it was the first time of all being together. And I don't even remember if, I think she met my brother, but I don't remember. And so she comes over and it was madness. And you see, because if you stop talking to breathe more than the normal, like half a second, you lose your place. And you're done talking. And so if you want your opinion to hurt, you don't breathe. You just keep talking, or you learn the vocal techniques of breathing while you're talking, you know. And literally, Fiona was like so overwhelmed. She like went to the other condo where no one was and bawled her eyes out. Like, why did I say yes on the plane? I was full of Dramamine and like, you know. Someone just got that. But in a true relationship, there is a back and forth, a time to talk and a time to listen. And we have to understand that we need to listen. Some free marital advice this morning, especially gentlemen, ladies too. They like to, you know, we need to listen. That was for free. Revelations 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." We read this in opening scripture. In our relationship with Jesus, the same is true. It's too easy to view our relationship with him as a one-way street. We're a needy people. I don't know about you, but we're needy. God, I need this. God, I need that. Man, I need wisdom. God, I need direction. God, I need help with my finances. God, my family member. Oh, my friends are driving me crazy, God. And, you know, these drivers are just road rage and everything. And we're so focused on making sure that we pray every day, that we focus on all that we have to get out. Like, God bless this person. And we just mention needs. And like, okay, check it off. But we have to have times where we are listening for what he wants to communicate into our lives. This is so countercultural. The concept of being still, of quieting our minds, of quieting our hearts. It's almost uncomfortable in our culture. That last 10 seconds was, because we're expecting, like, okay, would you hurry up and say something? Like, I'm feeling uncomfortable here. I find myself, like, at home, just hanging out. Sometimes, like, okay, it's just way too quiet in here. I have to put on some music or something. And we busy ourselves. The concept of quieting our minds and our hearts so that we can hear the voice of God is such a foreign concept in this information overload, entertainment overloaded culture. Go out to eat once and just observe folks and their interactions. It's like sitting there, take a bite, like, sitting there, like, oh, let me take a picture of my food. Post it on Facebook. Tweet it. Yummy food. Having a blast with my wife. Not talking to her, but having a blast. Date night. Woo-woo. Friday night, we were sitting at home and just hanging out, having a relaxed night at home. And we're sitting there and, you know, I love when phones are on, like, wood or something. It's like, brrr. And it was like a couple feet away, and Fiona's like, I'm like, something just happened in the atmosphere, and I must know what happened. And so I did grab it, and I got yelled at. It was just a text. I could have, like, you know, responded like 3 days later. It wouldn't have been a big deal. Except some folks who are like, you didn't answer my text within 2 seconds. But do you want to see his glory? God is going to speak into our lives and give instruction or direction. And so we need to have that still time, that quiet time where there is the opportunity to hear the voice of God. But it's not a natural thing. So how do we develop that ability? I make lots of observation with kids in church. And I've always been intrigued by the ones that can go through a whole service and be content, be quiet, and everyone is just like, wow, amazing children. You must be an amazing parent. No, it's just that I've asked them, like, how do your kids stay quiet when everyone else is like, ah? Not any here, you know, of course not. But I ask, and undoubtedly when I ask the parents, it's like, we practice quiet time. It's like, practice quiet time. And they're like, no, at home, where there's all this toy stimuli, toys everywhere, coloring to be had and everything, it's like we practice quiet time. And we say, you know what, we are going, just a little parent tip this morning too, from other parents, like, they practice that at home and say, we're gonna have quiet time. It's like, but I want to be crazy. No, we're gonna have quiet time. And then when they come to church, they've told me, hey, you know what, we've practiced this at home, it's now quiet time. It's like, oh, quiet time, I can handle that. It's, you know, half an hour, 45 minutes, sweet. Hour if the speaker goes long. Glory, help us. And all the parents get nervous when they get longer. But what's the result? They come to church. They've already practiced being quiet. They can handle being quiet in a very stimuli intensive environment. This is not a sterile environment at all. There's sounds, crying babies. There's people behind you making faces at the cute little baby, you know. Not that I ever do that and get kids in trouble. But you want to hear God speak in your life? We need to practice being quiet. It's not a natural thing. We need to practice times where we leave our phone in the other room, off, not on the table, so we hear it, bzzz, and we're like, ooh. We need to practice times where we have the TV off, put our tablet aside, and we just meditate on God's word. Maybe it's soft instrumental worship music that we download on our iPod and play. And so we can just, you know what, even if it's not a focused meditation time, it's just, you get all the busyness aside. As you maybe, you know, and some people can handle, like, I love old school black gospel music, and it's like, that's soothing to me. And it's like meditating, and it's like I can really focus in, and some people can't. And then there's other times that drives me nuts, and I can't handle it. It's like I gotta focus. And so it's knowing yourself and practicing that quiet time. But Phil, what if I miss that Snapchat? What if I miss that someone liked my picture online? Are we so concerned about what's going on in the world that we are willing to miss the very voice of God in our lives? The voice of God that speaks life into our spirit, that will speak hope, that speaks change, the voice that will lead to his glory being manifested in our lives. Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. We like to respond to a jamming service, coming up to the altar to pray, responding when the beat of the drum or the tickling of the ivories is going on, or that jam on the iPad, and we're like, Jesus. Go, Jesus. Jesus is awesome. Woo! Yeah, that's my Jesus. Woo! He's so good. He's so good. He's so good. But being quiet and still is so very hard. And we can't actually hear what he's trying to say. It's like, go, Jesus, go. Go, Jesus, go. Woo! Woo! And it's like, hello, I would like to go into your lives, but you're like just going crazy over here. It's hard because it strips away all the noise and the peripheral things. And we can't hide when we're alone with God. We can distract ourselves very much, even with gospel music and the things of God and being excited, ministry. Yet we don't have our alone time with God so he can speak into our lives. This can be uncomfortable because it's when he truly speaks to us. It's when our hearts, our true nature, our true motives are laid bare before him. And our nature doesn't like that. We don't like to be exposed by God's light shining in the darkness, as was sung about this morning. We don't like, we all have things in our lives we need to grow in and change. And so it's hard because we don't want to know about it. We know about it, but we don't want to know about it. We don't want God to say, pick that thing. Like, God, I'll do everything else, but that thing, God, I'm going to ignore you. And I'm just, whoop, go, Jesus. My best friend. I don't want to be the type of man that Jesus was talking about in Matthew 15:8 that says, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Extreme example. Go, Fiona. Fiona's the best. Phil, what you did. You're the best. Yeah, best wife ever. You know, and I don't let her get a word in edgewise. I'm never going to know that, you know what, there's something that bothered me that we need to talk about, that you hurt me or you hurt my feeling. No, best wife ever. I don't need to change. I'm the best husband because I'm honoring my wife. Woo-woo. Ridiculous, but that's how we do sometimes with God. I've never done that, just so you know. We need to allow things to be stripped away where it's just Jesus and us. And we linger in his presence. Ask yourself, when was the last time I lingered at the altar? Not just came up and respond and say, good message, God. Man, we got a great pastor. And then 2-3 minutes, 5 minutes, perfect. I walk out. But lingering, saying, God, just expose everything that he was talking about in my life, God. What areas, God? And, you know, there's times to shout and run and jump and dance. Praise God for those moments where we celebrate. But the more important times are where we allow God to just work us over. Again, the reason for learning to listen is because we want to hear him speak to us. Why? Because when he speaks and when we respond, his glory will be seen. So we want to see his glory. We need to start listening for his voice. So how does he speak? A few things, and we'll hurry on quickly. John 1:1-2 says, in the beginning was the Word, and then the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. God's Word is forever settled in heaven. Psalms 119:89 says, Psalms 119:105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You want to know what steps to take? Get in his word. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You want to know what your true motives are? Get in the word of God and let it begin to speak to your heart. That's why reading the word of God is so important. It's the most direct and clear way that God speaks to us. If we approach it not as a task to check off, like, okay, got my Bible reading and done today, that's what we're supposed to do, read our Bible. No, but if we approach it as a time for God to speak to us, even if you're in the, like, the books where it's talking genealogy. I mean, there's times where, like, Lord, help me stay awake here. But there are things in there that God may, like, huh, I saw this name before. And it may have nothing to do with the scripture, but you saw the name and he was the son of something. And you're like, wait a minute. And God begins to, like, I'm going to go check back. When did I read that name? And what was the situation? I had that happen to me. And it was just like, boom, 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 boom. And it's all like, oh my goodness, God. What a powerful thought. Reading it from the genealogies. That led to something else. Because I was saying, God, I want to know something from this scripture. Lead me. How does he speak? He will speak to us through his word. How else does he speak? He speaks through our leadership. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. We can't just walk away from authorities in our lives if we want to be under an umbrella of protection. Say, you know what? Yeah, I see what you're saying, Pastor, but I'm not going to apply it to my life. That's a scary place to be in, because we are withdrawing ourselves from the protection that God has placed on our pastor and leadership. We need our pastor. We need those spiritual authorities in our lives, and God speaks to them through them. If you have some thought that you feel is God ordained, go to the pastor. If he says no, don't even question. Say, okay, there must be a reason. Because there might not be a reason that our pastor knows why, but in his spirit he says, this is not right. And he's watching for our soul. He's praying for us. God will speak through our leadership. When a man of God gets up here to minister the word of the Lord, be in tune. Like, God, how does this apply to me today? I've said this before, but that's how you get God to speak to you. Like, God, what's that nugget of truth for me today? What's that nugget, Lord God, that I need to change? And then you marinate it on through the week. How does he speak? He speaks through that still, small voice in our hearts. 1 Kings 19, 11-12, this is Elijah, and God says, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and great and strong wind rent the mountains, and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind, and then after the wind, an earthquake, the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still small voice. And that's when Elijah knew, this is the Lord speaking to my heart. You know, oftentimes, I mean, there have been folks who, like, I audibly heard the Lord speak, and praise God, I've never had that happen in my life. For me, it's always been that small guiding voice. And then I start to compare to think, okay, does this align to your word? You know, God, is this right? Is there a peace about it? And we'll get into those. But there's a still small voice that he just nudges you and say, you know what? You need to talk to that person. It's not going to be like, yeah, Joe that you just passed by, he's the one to minister today because he's got problems. No, it's going to be like you've prayed on your way to work and you're going to be walking by and it's going to be like, talk to Joe. It's like, okay, and that's why we all quit, like, was that God? That can't be God. Joe's like weird as all get out, you know. And then we start rationalizing because it's that still small nudging of a heart. And if it's still there, that's the Lord speaking to you. It's like, go talk. All right, God. What's the worst that can happen that, you know, he doesn't, like, answer right then? And, like, you know, sometimes we're like, he's going to get the Holy Ghost or he's going to be healed. And, well, maybe God's just working on his life. And like, hey, someone turned aside to turn to me and say, hey, is there anything I can pray for? And they may say, nah, that's okay. But you might have just made an internal difference in their soul that the seed that will be bear fruit months from now. You never know what God has in mind. But with communication, we're all aware that we can filter out what we hear. There are some folks that when you give instructions, are yep, I got it. No problem. Take care of it. And then it never happens. You're like, what happened? Like, you never told me that. You know, you never asked me to do that. You're like, yes, you said, yep, I've got it. I'll do it. And there's that filter. Parents, you know that with your kids. They have that filter. I have it with my parents. You know, like, anyways, I'm a good child. But there are different types of filters. And we filter based on maybe experiences. Gideon, for example, thought of himself as the weakest of the weak. So when the Lord came down and said, Gideon, you mighty man of valor, he's like, dude, I think you got the wrong guy. He didn't take it as face value. He filtered it through experiences like, you know what? And some folks, that's a big filter. We're not going to go into depth about experiences, but how you feel about it, like, oh, that can't be me. God doesn't want to use me in that way. You know, we filter things. We can also filter through culture or societal norms. We saw this past week where, I don't know if you've read it, but the former evangelical Christian, Rob Bell, he was talking to Oprah Winfrey about same-sex marriage, and she's asked, you know, are churches going to accept it or not? And he said he believes that it's inevitable. And here's his quote. I think culture is already there, and the church will continue to be even more irrelevant when it quotes letters from 2,000 years ago as their best defense. And so that's becoming societal norm. And so we read in Scripture and we say, oh, that's what Scripture says? Well, that was for that time, that culture, that can't apply to us today. You know, that's for them. That's for them. That's cool. But God has obviously changed because our society has advanced and more now and all this. And so that's a big filter that people really struggle with and say, well, wait a minute, everyone's accepting it. So it must be accepted by God. Sorry, forever, O Lord, is that word settled in heaven. Amen. Amen. We have to be aware and careful not to have these filters in place when we are talking with God, when he is speaking to us. We want the resounding, clear voice of God in our lives, not the one that is filtered by these different things, experience, like we talk about societal norms. But I'm going to focus on three different filters today. First, 2 Kings 5. Yeah. I'm not going to have time to read all this. Basically, story goes, Naaman, captain in the army, Syria. He's over the Syrian army. He gets leprosy, debilitating disease, no hope, no cure, all that stuff way back in the Bible days, especially no hope, no cure. And so he's like, "What? This is it. Just going to lock myself away." And some servant girl said, "Hey, there's a guy over in Israel that is a prophet of God. He will heal you, or he will ask the Lord to on your behalf." Naaman goes over there, you know, goes to Elisha's house. And let me see here. It says, so Naaman came with his horses, with his chariot. We're probably around verse, I don't know, 9 or so. And stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him. He's at his house, right outside the door. And Elisha's like, dude, I'm chilling on the couch. Hey, yo, a servant of mine, go tell Naaman to wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. You're going to be healed. And what was Naaman's response? He got mad. Like, dude, I am the Syrian army dude, and I came all the way to your house, and you don't even come outside? You sent a servant to come tell me? And he's like, plus, like, the Jordan River, you know how dirty that is? Like, our country is so much better. Syria, we have, like, these clean rivers, and Jordan is dirty and nasty, and whatever. I'm not doing that. I can't. He was very prideful and very much of, like, psh, why would you want me to do that? And thankfully, he had some people that in his life that were a little more wise, and he's like, you know what? If they told you to do this and this and this and all these steps, you would do it. It's dipping yourself in a river 7 times. Come on, bro. Just do it. And he didn't. He was healed. But there was a filter of pride. The voice of God spoke, go to the Jordan, dip 7 times. And he got all upset about the scenario, who talked to him and who brought the message and what he wanted them to do. And there was a element of pride there. Naaman almost missed out on the glory of God in his life being miraculously healed because he was so full of pride and so full of himself and his flesh. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we may hear scriptures like this or challenging scriptures about things in our lives that we need to change. We're like, come on, I haven't killed anyone. I'm a good person.
And we filter it through that pride. Like, you would want me to walk down in front of everyone? I mean, everyone's going to know I'm a sinner. No, that's not the point of coming down. It's coming down and saying, God, I need you. But that pride, that filter, will take what the Lord says and like, that's just not me. 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Basically, tell you what you want to hear. We should be challenged at church. I don't want a pastor who tells me what I want to hear. I want a pastor who tells me this is what the Word of God says. And not because he says it, that like, oh, I got to change because Pastor Roy says so. No, it's, oh my God, your word says I'm not measuring up. And so I need to change, God. I'm glad when my toes get a little stepped on, because I know, you know what? I still got a ways to go. I still got some things I've got to change. Why? So we can be closer to the Lord. I want to continue to grow, continue to change, continue to make adjustments in my life, my attitude, etc. The filter of flesh and the filter of pride will take the voice of your pastor or the voice of the Word of God or the still small voice and be like, you can't expect me to make that kind of change in my life. I'm not that kind of person. We may want God's glory in our marriage, but we have to be willing to hear the voice of God and be the bigger person and maybe humble ourselves and serve our spouse. Well, maybe you just need to just worry about yourself and what thus saith the word of the Lord. Oh, we want God's glory in our finances, but give 10% of my pay, 10% of my pay the church, pay God. That's what the Bible says. Like, I worked hard for that money. Okay, filter it through that pride. You won't see God's glory in your finances. That's how it works. And so we have to be careful of that filter in our lives. Another filter is, let's look at Exodus 14, 15. This is 14, verses 15 and 16. The Lord said unto Moses, so they've come out of the land of Egypt. They were slaves in bondage. They come out, and now they're on the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's right behind them. Nowhere to go. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Start walking into the sea. That's logical. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Most of us would, well, I would apply the filter of logic. That doesn't make sense. Like, I'm going to lift a rod and the water is going. And he said, it doesn't say I will divide. He said, you lift your hand up and divide it. Like, that's not a lot. Now, granted, Moses has had experiences with God. So to him, he's like, okay, that's what you said. But we can easily filter out what God says to us with the filter of logic. Well, that doesn't make sense. Like, God, like, why would you tell me to do that? And we start to like, oh, Joe, like, why would you tell me to go talk to Joe? Like, that doesn't even make logical sense. He's told me, like, he's not even interested in church, and he's not even interested in God, and he's got such a foul mouth, and God, that doesn't make logical sense. What about, this lady is so nice and sweet, and she'd be a perfect Christian, God? Like, that guy doesn't even make, and we start to filter out God's voice. God's voice is like, just talk to him. Stop trying to be all logical here. We can't go by our logic and understanding. Logic can also be a filter when we think we know what God would want, making the logical conclusion based on the facts presented to us. Joshua 9:3, chapter 9, I'm reading in the New Living Translation, but verse 3, but when the people of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they resorted to deception to save themselves. They sent ambassadors to Joshua, loading their donkeys with weathered saddlebags and old patched wineskins. They went to him saying, you know what, hey, try to deceive them, say, we're from like miles and miles and miles away, even though they knew that God had told them they were right next door neighbors and they were the next to go, so to speak. And what happens, Joshua, later in verse 14, so the Israelites examined their food, but they did not consult the Lord. Then Joshua made a peace treaty with them and guaranteed their safety. The leaders of the community ratified their agreement with a binding oath. They tricked them. They got played. Why? Because they thought, you know what, this makes logical sense. They're from afar. Look, their wineskins are, you know, worn down and everything. And so they made a decision based on that. They didn't consult the Lord. Sometimes we may perceive something, but it's not accurate. It's like a game of chess. God is thinking 10 steps ahead. And what this action will do with this act, and we can't see that. It may make logical sense to put the rook there, but you know what? It's going to get destroyed two moves later, and we had no clue. And I'm not a chess player, so by all means, I'd lose. But if we see something that makes logical sense, a smart decision to make, an action to take, we still need to submit ourselves to the Lord. Let him have final approval on that action in our lives. And on the same token, if God speaks into our life and it doesn't make sense, don't immediately dismiss that from your thoughts and from your actions. Why? My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. And this is in Isaiah. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. Last filter is the filter of time. Speaking of time, we are running out. We have a situation that needs a miracle. We have a circumstance in our family. We have a loved one that needs to be saved. We have this concept of timing. God may speak into our lives, but or he may not for a while. And we're wondering, where are you, God? Mentioned this to the church several months ago, many months ago, about Fiona and I not being able to have children. 3 years ago this May, we found that out on my side. And we went through this whole grieving process. We can't have kids. And then it's like the question, like, we're going to believe for a miracle. And then it's like, you know, 3 months go by. We're like, start to whine and complain. And then, you know, 6 months go, we're like, oh, God's not listening. He doesn't care. And it tested my faith. And I talked about this and all this stuff. And it didn't make sense. And then one day I was reading the Bible and it's like, oh, Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness, God preparing him. And it's just like, it's been 6 months and I'm whining and complaining and wanting God to be on my timetable. And so through this whole process, there's, you know, been multiple objects. My logic kicks in, says, okay, we can go to the fertility route. We could get into fostering kids. We could maybe adopt through fostering. We'll go to adoption through the agency route. Lots of things. And it's like, hello, God. All these things are on the table. Would you hurry up and speak? We're willing to do whatever. And there was silence. Then I remember having, you know, some very meaningful folks and praise God, like, have you ever thought of adoption? And it's like, what's that? I've never heard of such a thing. It's like, yeah, I have. I wanted to say, yeah, I have. Can you talk to God? Because he hasn't. You know, he's obviously didn't get the memo about all the options out there. But I was fine with that and everything. But it's just like nothing. And it's like, okay, God, still believing for a miracle still. But it's like, and so we did nothing, which makes absolutely no logical sense. But there was a timing involved. And in my flesh, I was like, God, I've got to have this sooner than later because I'm 35. I'm set in my ways. I like my life. I don't know if you're going to do something, hurry up. I'm getting old. I don't want to be like worrying about osteoporosis when I'm like throwing the ball with, you know, break a leg and it, you know. And I can see how folks can easily make a choice and a decision in life based on their timing and their thoughts and not wait for God. It wasn't like God said, do this, but wait till then. He was saying nothing. Just like, stop worrying about it. Chill out, Phil. It's like, I don't want to chill out. I'm whining. God. Felt like a 14-year-old again. Like, But no, what we did, we waited. We didn't feel directed to do anything. Finally, last May, we felt push on the door of fostering. Went to a foster meeting, and God's like, wrong door. I wanted you to push on it to know that it wasn't for you. Again, nothing against fostering. For us. And it was September 21st this year. Many of you probably saw our Facebook post. Cantrells were here. The missionary really connected with our church. Talked about Sahidu, that boy, 11-year-old or whatever, went through all these cares of life. The parents died and just crazy, crazy medical things and all this stuff. And everyone came down, really prayed, and Fiona went down. I stayed in my seat. And I'm just like, I wasn't even specifically praying about direction. I was just like, man, God, that's just a stirring story. And, man, we can, as Christians, just, you know, we can do so much and take people in. And it's like, out of the blue, God's like, it's time to adopt. I'm like, what? That's not what I was asking God. I'm now 35 and a half, God. And so I walked down and said, Fiona, yeah, so God just spoke to me. She's like, yeah, he did too. And submitted papers were almost due approval status. And you know what? I know God spoke. And it wasn't on my timetable. And do I know what will happen? Absolutely not. Is it going to be finalized? Are we? I don't know. Maybe it's not. But I know God said, push on the door of adoption. What that means, we'll find out. But how do we know it's God? And I'm trying to wrap up. I've been saying that for about 5 minutes here. But this whole adoption thing is crazy when I stop to think about it. There's so many variables. There's financial considerations. There's the thought that, again, I'm turning 36. I like my life. This little bundle of joy, it's going to be craziness, no sleep, all that stuff. But you know what? I have a peace about this whole process. When God speaks into your life, you can know it's God by the peace that you feel. If you feel some hesitation and like, I don't know. And I'm not talking about nervousness because I'm nervous as all get out, you know, and just like freaked out. But in the midst of all that, there's this underlying peace. Also, because he is the Prince of Peace, look in Isaiah 9, verses 6. Also, there won't be confusion involved. 1 Corinthians, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace is all in all churches of the saints. I've had folks speak into my life and say such and such is the will of God. And it's like, he didn't say anything to me. Like, you would think like he would also tell me. And then it begin to like confuse, like, is that? Normally, if someone's going to speak into your life, it's going to confirm what already God has been dealing with you about. If someone comes up to you and say, hey, man, you need to start a church in Jamaica, man. And you're like, I was just thinking about Sunday school, like helping out with the kids. Like, that's not a confirmation, and that causes confusion. So that's a way to know. If there's confusion, it's most likely not of God. And as you go back, we need to use the word of God. If God speaks or someone else speaks into life, you can and we should go back to the other sources. If you're sitting around like, man, we're having financial difficulty and someone's like, dude, you know what? We should go rob a bank. That's not of God. Why word of God says thou shalt not steal? We compare it to the word of God. That's an easy one, drastic analysis, but you get what I'm saying. Oh, we should do this. Well, the word of God says we shouldn't, so I shouldn't. And maybe it's a comparing to what our leaders say. Proverbs 11:14 says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. Get some good, godly counsel. Let it be confirmed to them. Like, you know what? Yeah, I'm feeling in my spirit. That's what God wants you to do as well. Ask your pastor. Ask your godly leaders. So tonight as we stand, let me ask you the question. What if Moses never raised the rod over the Red Sea? What if the disciples never started feeding the multitudes because they just saw we only got two fish? What if Naaman had never dipped himself into the dirty Jordan River? But Moses did, and they walked on dry ground. The glory of God, miraculous in their lives. The disciples did, and the multitude was fed. Naaman did, and he was healed of leprosy. Joshua 21:45 says, not a single one of all the good promises the Lord has given to the family of Israel was left unfulfilled. Everything he had spoken came true. God wants to speak into your life. So you got to look at yourself. There's this whole process. It's this first, yeah, we want to see your glory. We need to have that desire, but we need to allow ourselves to be spoken to by God. So if you're not hearing the voice of God, maybe that's where you're at this morning. You need to analyze yourself. God, do I need to practice quiet time at home? Do I need to linger in your presence, God? Maybe that's where you're at, that you haven't heard the voice of God. God wants to speak to each and every one of us. And if that is the case, take those steps. God, I'm going to do that. I'm going to start feeling after you. I'm going to start like meditating on your word and listening for the voice of God, being active in that. But maybe you're in the place where God has specifically told you something to do. Pastor asked, how many have, you know, been told to talk to someone we haven't? Myself included. And maybe we're in that place. We need to say, you know what? I've got to start answering the call. I want to see his glory, so I'm going to start preparing myself to hear from God. And when I do that, then I'm going to start hearing from God. And then once I hear from God, I'm going to start acting on that spoken word. And you know what? I will see the glory of God in my life. I will see his power evident through me and in me, in my family, in my finances, through the spoken word. When God speaks, what will you do? What will you do? Hallelujah. As they begin to sing, I want to encourage you to find a place to pray and ask the Lord where you're at in this process. If you've got a healing need in your life, let me let you know that God is a healer. And we want to encourage you to come on the left side and take that up. God's saying, hey, I want to touch your life. Come up to the left side here on your left side. Some ministers will pray with you. If you got a situation going on in your life you can't get through, come on in the middle. If you've never been baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, Bible says that's a first step of getting the glory of God in your life. Come on the right side. Won't you come find a place to pray? Let's talk to the Lord. Let's seek after the Lord. Let's hear what he has to say to us this morning.
Redeemer, defender, our great and mighty Savior, there's no one higher than you.
Hallelujah. We need to get rid of the filters. The filters that you're not good enough. The filters that he would never want to speak to you. The filters that I don't know what this is all about. The lack of knowledge. Let those filters go and let him just speak clearly, a clear, concise voice in your life. Doesn't matter if it sounds crazy, doesn't sound logical. God may want to take you to places you never imagined in your life. If it strikes a chord with you and there's something inside you saying, I don't want to do that. You need to remove that filter of flesh, of pride. And let him speak to your heart. Won't you find a place to pray this morning?
And there is no